and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even in your name, even the demons submit to us.' And he said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ."
In the name of the beloved Son, for the sake of the beloved community. Amen. God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy
liberty and law.
From a seldom sung verse of America the Beautiful. Well, happy 4th. Is the weekend when America celebrates the national birthday, and you have to admit, we are a strange nation at best. We have high ideals, but so many times our actions don't live up to those ideals. We have wonderful and beautiful intent, Sometimes it feels that all we're left with is tensions. We are a nation of contrasts, contradictions. And even as I stand here today, I hope you see part of the irony that is our nation. A descendant of slaves depicting the Statue of Liberty, such as America. Yet I have to admit, I've always loved the Statue of Liberty. It's my favorite symbol of the nation. From a kid, though, I always thought that Lady Liberty reminded me of someone else. She reminds me of a lady that's, well, a little bit older, been around a bit. She reminds me of Lady Ecclesia. You probably know Ecclesia best by her traveling name over in these shores, the church. It's because of some of the things that Lady Liberty holds. Lady Liberty holds up this torch. The idea is that it is freedom making progress and giving light. And I think about the church and what we hold up. We hold up a light as well. I want to take you back to the Easter vigil. After that fire is lit, that big, huge candle is brought forth. It's lit. And it is held up. And the deacon intones, "The light of Christ." And as... Thank you for being a liturgical church. Each time, as that light begins to spread through those who's gathered, each time it's intoned again and again at a higher tone, the idea is that it is constantly being lifted up. Now, let me tell you something about a torch. The first thing that a torch is to do is to give light to the person holding the torch. You know, we often think, oh yeah, light of Christ, mission of the church. Not yet. The torch's first work is to light the way of the one who is holding the torch. The light of Christ shows us the love of God so that we might see it. The light of Christ shows us the reconciling work of God in Christ so that we might see it. It shows us the way that one should live so that we might see it. You know, funny thing about a light that is held up is it shows you not only itself, shows you yourself. I sometimes wonder as Lady Liberty stands above New York with her, the arm of her robe falling back, if she ever looks over at her arm and says, "That's a beautiful arm." Strong right arm holding up light. I like the way that looks. In the light of Christ, there are things that we do look and see about ourselves that we should rightly like. The gifts that God has given each of us, we should rightly honor those and say, "Those are beautiful." You know, we have a tendency to want to look at other people's gifts and say, "Oh, I wish I had that. Oh, if only I can do that." But the light of Christ is so that we might look and see our own gifts and take joy in that work and in those things that God has made us to be. Of course, there's also another thing that a light will do. It'll not only show us the parts that we like, it'll show us the parts that we're not so happy about. A light will also reveal those parts in us that we would rather not look at. And when it comes to the church, the light of Christ does reveal to us some of the things that we have done in the name of God as church that we now look at and say, "That was ugly. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to see it." But we must. We must look. We must see. That is a part of how we are built to be. In fact, we practice that in liturgy every Sunday. We come to that point in our service where we confess our sins. We admit and we say, "This is where we have gone wrong." And as church, the light of Christ does show us the places where we have gone wrong. And it is appropriate for us as church to say, "This is where we have sinned. And racism is where we have sinned. And exploiting our brothers and sisters who were here before any of the rest of us arrived, these are places where we have sinned. As we have turned away from those in pain, these are the places where we have sinned. It's not so that we can beat each other up. It's not so that we can take some whip and whap it across our backs and say, oh, what crappy people we are. Why does God even put up with us? That's not the reason. The reason is to be truthful and to draw near even to those whom we have wronged as church. The light of Christ is held up, and our hope is that we would also see others in that same light, to look upon the beauty of the faces outside of our churches, to look upon the beauty of the people who do not share our experiences, and to see them also as beautiful, loved, beloved, and to walk through the world with that light guiding. Now, I have to say, the other thing that a bright light will do as we're looking at others, it'll give others a chance to look at us. And they may see things about us that aren't that great and maybe are painful and things that they may want to turn away from. We've just come off of the celebration of Pride Month. And as you and I well know, there are so many people from the community for whom the church has shown an ugly face in the light of Christ. As your canon for multicultural ministry, I also must tell to you the painful stories in our diocese where we have shown an ugly face. This too is part of what we confess and ask God, forgive and lead. Forgive. And to say to the world, we do not step out into the world as perfect people. We do not step out into the world with a sword either. We step out with a light. Too often, we have wanted to make this into this. But it is a light offered generously, humbly, for ourselves and for others. Liberty wears a crown. It's supposed to be a diadem, this sort of bright, shining thing. It's supposed to represent the sun and the entire planet, the seven continents, the seven seas. It's supposed to be a sign that Lady Liberty has a global perspective. Lady Ecclesia, the church, has a global perspective also. We must remind ourselves that everything that is the business of the world is our business too. Yes, we may be here on Bainbridge Island today, concerned about the things that we should be as a group gathered here. But the world is also our business. Everything from abortion to xenophobia, it's all our business. Yes, gun violence is our business. Yes, racial reconciliation is our business. Yes, immigration is our business. And although these are often things that are hard to talk about, and sometimes even hard to agree upon, we can't run and hide behind that altar and pretend that somehow those things don't exist. We can't just simply say, oh, that's the safe place, you know. Sometimes when you're watching at the altar and you're watching the priest and everybody there, you know, sometimes the church kind of wants to do this. If I can just sink and hide behind it. But no, we have a global perspective and a call to bear this torch with all of our infirmities into a community. The other thing I have to always say that I notice about this crown, it's got points on it. Now, granted, that's about radiance and light and all of that, but can it not help but remind you of someone else's crown, which was turned the other way, and those points digging into his own flesh? Well, that's part of the price tag. You'll notice that I have left the price tags on all of these. I almost cut them off, and then I remember, no, there is a price. The amazing gifts that we have, God has brought them to us through the life, the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. All of this has come to us, and God generously gave it. And we do remember that. Every time we come to this altar, we are reminding ourselves of the night on which he was betrayed and how he gave body and blood so that this community of reconciliation and love might stand forth. Then there's what Lady Liberty holds. She holds a single tablet, and it's got one thing written on it. July 4th. 1776. That's what's on it. That's it. The idea is that it's trying to tell the story of a nation. Well, we have a set of stories we bring and are holding. This set. The stories of Jesus. Have you noticed how even when we read the scriptures, that the stories of Jesus hold this unique spot among us? We read the stories. We hear them. We know them as Word of God. And yet, when it's time for the gospel, we bring it out, somebody different comes, the book is held up, we stand up, there's songs and all this other stuff. We value these stories because in them we see the face of Jesus, who shows us the face of God. And as Liberty sort of holds that close to her, we hold it close to us. They're valuable stories. This is how we know how to live. This is what we've come to share. And yet, sometimes the best way that we can share these stories is by listening to other stories. Sometimes the best way that we give these stories away is to sit and listen to the stories that are told to us. Everything from the stories of cultures that long predate our own, to the stories of individuals who have been displaced from lands, to the stories of people who are in our cities and towns with amazing stories to tell. As we hear these stories, somehow it makes these stories come more alive to us, more precious, more beautiful, more eager to say, here, take these stories. They don't really belong to us. They belong to all. Even as our Savior came to give himself to all. But I have to admit, it's the bottom part of the Statue of Liberty that I love the most. The Statue of Liberty is not standing. For all that we want to think about it as a statue and therefore standing, it's actually not. She's walking. If you look at the Statue of Liberty, you see that the right foot of Lady Liberty is forward and she's pushing off of her back foot. She's striding and she's treading over something that's at broken chains and shackles. That's what's at the feet of the Statue of Liberty. Broken chains and shackles. The Church of Jesus Christ is called to be a church of liberation. Breaking chains, breaking shackles as we walk forward. Now, I'll tell you something about trying to walk through broken chains. Man, you can trip and fall on your face. Man, you can look bad. And you can find yourself among those who know what it means to be wounded, enslaved, and in pain. Whether that is the enslavement of drug addiction, or whether that is the pain of being alone with no opportunities for health care, Or whether that is the pain of being in a nation where there is no potable water. When we trip and fall in the breaking of those chains is when we come into community with the world that we are called to share all of this with. The Statue of Liberty holds those things which she has. She does not, you can't wrest them away from her. The church, however, is quite different. We're called to give the light away, to keep giving it away and giving it away and giving it away and giving it away. The beautiful thing about the light of Christ is the more you give, the more it is. It's like the Easter vigil. The candle starts as one light, steady, beautiful. And then as it works its way around the community, suddenly there's all what happens as we as church share this life. We don't share it as though we're saying, look, we're here, we're going to tell you all how the cow eats the cabbage. That's not how we are. We are here as people who have been given a gift. Remember, these things have prices on them. They are given to us to share with humility. As the Statue of Liberty strides forth, and I tell you this, as a kid, I was in love with this statue. And as a kid, I remember having a dream about the Statue of Liberty where she stepped off the pedestal. And in my dream, I can distinctly remember to this day, this is like 50 years ago dream, all right? I can distinctly remember the Statue of Liberty about to fall in the water. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she's going to drown. The light's going to go out. You know, that tap's going to be, it's going to be terrible. And somehow or other in my dream, the Statue of Liberty walks across the water. Wait a minute. I've seen that before. Now, I know what life looks like and feels like now. It looks bleak in a lot of ways and a lot of places. That war in Ukraine keeps going on. Texas, New York, too many places. We keep seeing the same story over and over and over again. Many of us are wondering what is going to happen with the Supreme Court's recent decisions around Roe v. Wade. And we wonder what's going to happen to people who will be trapped in pain. I know that sometimes it looks like we just want to give up. I've been there myself. Some mornings, to be honest, I'm still there. Then I remember, let us not give up the work of doing good, knowing that we will eventually gain a harvest. Not that we might see it, by the way, but we work at it because we know that God's kingdom will. I said I wasn't going to say this part, but I'm going to say it anyway. We understand that God has a long-term view. And that should not surprise us, because we've heard that from everyone from Jesus on. For me, when I'm really down and when I'm really discouraged and I want to give up, one of the things I do is I remember one of the most famous quotes from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said this, the moral arc of the universe is short, long. What we are after in our work of justice, what we are after in the work of the church, is a long road. It's not something you sprint and finish. You can't get it done in 9.9 seconds and have an Olympic record. You can't get it done in one congressional term. You can't get it done in one or two presidential terms. Perhaps you can't even be done in the life of a nation. The arc of the moral universe is long. But here's the promise. It bends. It bends towards justice. It bends that way because our hands are on it. It bends that way because there are other strong hands that are way higher and stronger than ours, God's own hands, blessing hands, that bend it. So I get it. move.